the serpent low, said the king upon his throne. You've deceived and lied, my child has gone into exile.
Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family we go. Shadows light has come. In the quiet, in the dead of night, glory, glory, sang the angels in the highest. At last, the King has arrived.
I don't get to come up here super often, so I'm happy to be up here. A little bit nervous because it's just the way it works. So everybody can let out their nervousness. I mean, it's only like half an hour that you have to listen to me anyway, so it'll be okay. There's always, you know, a few ideas floating around in my head of what I would talk about when I had the opportunity, and you know, jotting some stuff down and what I feel like the Lord is giving me to say to the congregation when I have that opportunity. But as soon as I go to write something, gone. Gone. Just draw a blank. So this week I was sitting at my computer, hands on the keyboard. I was getting to that drawing a blank feeling. But then, thankfully, some few things started to come together, a couple of things that I was thinking about swirling around. So I'm sure you're glad that I actually have something to talk about today. I am. So instead of me just, you know, rambling awkwardly for half an hour, I do have something to say. So that's good. And because the church has been growing, praise the Lord, and I don't get to come up here very often, I feel it, you know, somewhat necessary to share a little bit about who I am. There's some people here who would know me from the yay high, maybe, but I'm now yay high-ish. But you know, I've accepted that I'm short, but that's another story entirely. So I'll try and include some little tidbits of things that people who haven't heard or people have heard me speak before might not know. So a little keep the story a little interesting is what I'm trying to do here. So to that effect, my name is Matt, and I'm the assistant pastor here at our Airdrie campus. And it's okay if you forget my name because I have a bad memory. So that's okay if you do too. It's also written on the wall. So if you forget, you can just run over there and check. I was born in Vancouver and moved out to Airdrie when I was 10 years old with my family. And so that was back in 1998. I will let you do the math in regards to how much that adds up to, but don't tell me. I don't want to know. I have been married to my lovely wife, Tracy, who was playing the piano there for 11 years. And the little blonde-haired kid that was booking it around here earlier, that's my son Levi, and he is a lot of fun. Yeah, we have two crazy dogs, as the guys who come to my house every week for board games can attest to. I feel like they're 9 and 8, and I feel like they never decided not to be puppies anymore. Like, that's just, they just have so much energy, and I feel like at 9 and 8, this is just what we're in the long haul for. I have officially been a pastor for almost five years, and been running our youth ministry and various other things since 2012. So I've been here for a while, and one of the things that I love to do is play board games, and not just you know, Monopoly or the Scrabble type games, but something a little trickier, something a little harder to get the hang of, a little more strategy involved. So if you want to get me talking, talk about board games. Or talk about Star Wars, because I really like Star Wars. Star Wars is great. Ever since my dad sat me down and we watched the original trilogy together, I've just loved Star Wars. Ever since that first lightsaber came on the screen, I was hooked. Star Wars had its hooks. It was done. And I also love the Vancouver Canucks. Woo! Yes! I got a woo. That's the first time that's ever happened. Yes. You know, it's a tricky thing in Calgary to talk about that because you guys are a little bit mean when it comes to hockey. But now I can be mean because we're doing better. So that's just all I'm going to say about that. I also really love to play music. I love to listen to it. I love to play it. I love to sit there and figure it out. Tracy often gets annoyed at me because I'm like, this is G, C, D, G. And she's like, how do you know that? Well, I think I'm cursed with something called perfect pitch. And being cursed with perfect pitch means that I can hear things that are wrong and I just have to hold that back. But that's my thing, not yours. If someone was describing me, they might include some of those things that I enjoy or some of the events that have happened in my life, moving to Airdrie, becoming a pastor, those kinds of things. And they might use those to describe who I am to somebody else if they didn't know who I was. And it gives you could use some of those things and it would paint a fairly decent picture of me. You wouldn't be super surprised when I walked into the room if that's how somebody described me. But what happens when those things go away? When my identity is based on events or on things I like to do or things that could change, what happens when those things go away? You know, would I still be a Canucks fan if the league decided the Canucks were no longer profitable in Vancouver and had to move them elsewhere? If it was like Saskatchewan or something? No, I wouldn't. Because they're not Vancouver's team anymore, because that's where my allegiance goes to. It goes to Vancouver. That's where I was born, and my dad instilled a very deep love for the Canucks as deep as it goes. Or maybe if the government decided one day that, you know, board games were illegal. I have no idea why they would do that. But if they decided that I couldn't play board games, I lose a large portion of what I spend my time on. And, you know, I'd probably attempt to be part of a resistance or something like that. You know, just the underground push for board games. I don't know, this is very hypothetical, but... Or perhaps if one day I started to lose my hearing and some accident happened, I broke my hand and it was never the same way again, something like that, I could not play music anymore. I would be rightly devastated. That's something that's been a part of my life for 18 plus years. And so if that was gone, that's a huge gaping hole. In my life and my story and all of those things. That is, if I choose to base my identity or my story of who I am on those things. The story of our lives are often filled with small events that shape who we are, whether it's sitting down to watch Star Wars with my dad, and now for I can't tell you how many years I love Star Wars, or picking up that guitar for the first time. You know, guitar is not as simple as it seems to pick up and learn. It hurts, it takes a lot of perseverance, all of that kind of stuff. And so at 13 years old, if I had decided, you know what, this is too much, I'm not going to play guitar anymore. Or, you know, I hit a wall of progress, which often happens, and you have to push through that as a guitar player, there's lots of walls of progress, and so if you don't continually try and push your way through, you know, you get stale, stagnant. You know, there's lots of times where it would have been just easy to give up and that to fall away from who I was or who I am. Or, you know, when other people thought it was a good idea, it's just to let me know how good they thought I wasn't. You let those things in, and it becomes, okay, do I want to do this anymore? Do I want to, does my story include this in the future? The gravity of simple decisions like that shows up when I think about that I would not even have met Tracy if I didn't play guitar. We met during a joint youth event for a worship thing. A friend of a friend asked me to lead worship, and she was on the team. It was like a joint youth group thing. If I didn't play guitar, that would not have happened. And so there would not have been this opportunity for me to get really distracted at the practice. So God had a plan in all of the little things in my life. Even if there were these bumps along the way to getting to where I am, and will be bumps along the way to get to where I'm going. For me, that plan involved music, and God instilled in me a passion for music, and that has shaped the course of my life. Just a simple thing like learning to play a guitar has shaped the future of my existence. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a shepherd boy who was also a musician. If you're familiar with the stories, the name probably came to mind, King David. And God put a passion in him to pursue God with his whole heart. Even when things didn't go the way they should. David had a lot of things in his life that went crazy and haywire, but he had this instilled passion and just desire for a pursuit of God that is just crazy to me that he would do that. But the first place we're going to look this morning is in 1 Samuel 17. So to catch you up on the story to this point, the Israelites were getting ready for battle. They were all set up and ready to go. And they're battling the Philistine people. And Goliath, their champion, comes onto the scene, and he starts insulting the Israelites, insulting the God of Israel, and saying all sorts of mean and terrible things, and challenging them to put forth a champion to face him. And so this is where David comes onto the scene. So David had been anointed king in the stead of Saul, and had not taken the throne yet, because Saul was still on the throne, and so God hadn't orchestrated that for him yet. But David had been, because he had been a musician, and music often very much calms people, he had been going back and forth between playing music for Saul and then going and feeding his father's sheep. And so he was in this kind of back and forth situation. But David's brothers were old enough to go to battle, and so they went instead of him. And David's father thought, well, it's been a while, because Goliath had been challenging the Israelites for quite a while. And so he thought, well, I'll send David, bring him some snacks, and find out how things are going. And so David shows up, and, you know, while he was there, he heard the challenge that Goliath was making to the people of Israel. And so he decides to ask around about it. So he's asking around, you know, why aren't we doing anything? What's going on here? What have I missed? And his oldest brother, Eliab, hears about his asking, and he responds to David with this. He says, now Eliab, his eldest brother, sorry, this is in verse 28, I didn't say that. So now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what your siblings are like, but there was a lot of times when my older brother, Brandon, was not very nice to me. I could tell you stories for days of the torments. I was an easy get, so I got angry really, really easy, and so he found it fun. But I certainly can't think of a time where my older brother, Brandon, would have called me out for having an evil heart. That seems pretty harsh and slightly ironic, considering how God identified David as a man after his own heart. So this getting called out by his brother could have easily turned David aside and said, you know what? He's right. This is not my place. I don't fight battles. I watch sheep. So I'm going to take this report and just go back to Dad and let him know that my brother's a jerk and they're doing fine. But David felt that God had a different plan. Then, you know, word gets around because David knows Saul and he plays music for him. That Saul hears of David's asking and is like, hey, hang on. I need to find this out for myself. So Saul brings David in, and David, you know, told of his intention to fight against Goliath, because David had resolved that this was what God was telling him to do. And then verse 33, Saul says to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. There's yet another person that's telling David what he's not capable of, and not capable of doing what God has called him to do. So, like I said, David had at least a familiarity with Saul. He had been playing some music for him and going back and forth from the sheep. And so David, being the skilled musician he said, you know, well, Saul really enjoyed David's music. The Bible says Saul loved it. And so it's safe to say that Saul cared about David, and this is why he was going to tell him this. But this is another point for David where he could have said, you know what, you're right. Here, let me play this tune I've been working on, and then I'll go back to my dad. But David didn't respond like that. David responded with his story of what God had already done in his life. He tells Saul, he continues in verse 34, he says, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. So he's already moved on from that. He's kind of going back and forth a little bit because he has to, but he's already moved on from that job. So your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And the men, for he has defied the armies of the living God. I missed a verse. 37, and David said, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So David was so confident in who he knew he was and what God had told him, and that he was going to declare to the king that he's going to do this. That this is what he's going to do. And all the king could respond with was, okay, I hope the Lord's with you. And we know that David went on to achieve victory against Goliath. I'm not going to talk about that part of the story right now, but he stones sunk into the head, crazy. Only explainable by God being with David. So David was confident in what God had called him to do. And later on in David's life, his relationship with Saul kind of falls apart a little bit, and Saul realizes that David's going to replace him, and so Saul attempts to to kill him. And one of those times, David and his men had gone and hidden in this cave in the wilderness because they were running from Saul. And they were hoping that they would just, you know, pass by and they would be able to sneak away. But Saul went in the cave by himself to relieve himself. And did you know the Bible said that? It does. It actually says that. I like that the Bible doesn't, you know, shy away from those details. Lots of fun. So anyways, Saul is in there doing his thing. And David's men see an opportunity. So in we're jumping ahead to 1 Samuel 24 at verse 4. It says, "And the men of David said to him, 'Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.' Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, that the Lord's anointed, to put my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed.'" Now this seemingly seems like the perfect situation for David to grab an opportunity, if indeed God had actually said that to him. I think we can gather from David's reaction and the fact that it doesn't say anywhere else in the Bible something like what his guys quoted to him. David wasn't convinced that this was what he needed to do. David knew that this was not his time to seize the throne. That was not what God had told him to do. But he knew that in God's time, he would make a way. David knew what God had told him, and he wasn't going to stray from that. He wasn't going to take shortcuts to get to the throne early, so to speak. And for us, that's a helpful reminder for us. Don't take shortcuts. When God tells you to go this way and do this thing, and it takes a while to see it come to fruition, don't take shortcuts. Take the opportunity that God's placed before you, but don't sneak in there. That's just a side sermon. So if we continue to look at David's story, we can see that he wasn't a perfect guy. He had a temper. He loved to go to war. He was really good at it. He loved to, not necessarily loved to kill people, but that wasn't what I was trying to say. But he definitely killed a lot of people. That's just what happens when you go to war and win. He also, one of the times where he should have gone to war and didn't go to war, stole another man's wife. And, you know, tried to cover it all up and ended up killing the guy because his cover-up didn't actually work. He was very stubborn. He, you know, tried to do things his own way even when he was advised otherwise, and the result was people got hurt by it. And so we can see David was not perfect. But I don't say all those things to distract us from the first two stories we talked about, but to rather to see that David wasn't the perfect guy. The thing I love about the Bible and what it shares with us is it doesn't fix the stories. It doesn't change things so that, you know, David shows up in a better light. It doesn't, you know, sneakily leave out the whole Bathsheba thing or all of that. But it just tells us what these people did. It tells us their story. It tells us that these people were people just like us. They made mistakes. And we can see throughout Scripture that the things that David did, and then ultimately that God would use his family line to bring Jesus about. And so God had planned that from years and upon years before Jesus came and walked this earth, that he would use David's family to make that happen. But something to note about David and his all his mistakes was that he was quick to repent. When David got called out, he repented. It wasn't I didn't do this thing. I did this thing. Yeah, I need to turn from what I've done. David had character based on what God said about him and about him, and God said about himself, and he wouldn't be persuaded otherwise. As we can see this in Psalm 139, is one of the psalms that many psalms that David wrote, and in verse 16 he says that your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would number more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. David had confidence in God's plan. And David had confidence in who God said he was. And David had confidence in who God said he was going to be in David's life. David knew that God had written his story from day one to day, whichever the last one was. I don't know how many that was. David knew that what God said he would do, and he wasn't going to shortcut his way to get there. David's story is one of relentless pursuit of God. What will your story say about you? David went through difficult times and trials, some of his own doing and some not. His best friend was killed in battle. He was chased around for years by his best friend's dad, who happens to be the king at the time. He lost his own child because of his sin. He had another son later in his life betray him and take the throne, and his son was killed in response to all of that. But despite all of these things, these terrible, terrible things in his life, David pursued God and his plan. Don't get me wrong, we can see in the Psalms that David had doubts. David had questions. He effectively yelled at God on paper. But he never gave up that pursuit. We can always see in David's Psalms that he starts with, "Where are you, God?" of some sort, if he starts there, but ends up with, "Yet, still I will praise you." Amen. Your story can be one of the most powerful tools for sharing the gospel. How you respond to the things that happen to you and around you can affect other people when you share what's happened in your life. In this day and age, most people won't listen to someone just telling them things, to share about something they're not sure about themselves. But people today, especially this generation coming up, they are spiritual. They are seeking something. They don't want a religion. They want a relationship. They don't want facts, but they want real interactions. If we, as people who follow Jesus, are vulnerable enough to share our lives and our stories of what God has done and how he has changed us because of our interactions with Jesus, people will listen. Share with people how your life is different because Jesus is in it. Share those pivotal moments where things could have been different, like if I had put down that guitar instead of pushing through. There's pivotal things in my life, the future 18 plus, I don't know how many years I'm going to play guitar for, probably the rest of my life, but the future of my life had changed from that moment, and because God had a plan for me and music and how that all worked together. Share those pivotal moments with people. Because those are the things, your interactions with Jesus, those are the things that can convince people that Jesus is worth investigating. If there's anything to take from David's story, is that despite the questions, despite his own doubts, despite his own mistakes and fumbling, pursue God's plan for you. Pursue God relentlessly. So my encouragement is to take some time to think about your life, about how your life is different because Jesus is in it. And then share it. Don't stop there. Share it. Because you never know who will hear your story and be convinced of the truth of the gospel because you shared it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up and we're going to finish off with a song. But I just want to encourage you this moment, just as we close and as we pray, think about your story and how you can share that with other people and how you can share about those pivotal moments that Jesus stepped into your life.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
To redeem the whole creation. Despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tomb.